I love the way that you said it starts with breath. Gosh, I am very emotional. And I haven't prepared exactly what I'm going to say. And I haven't prepared what I'm going to say for a reason. And listening to you, Mezin, now, I realize that in a sense, what I would like whatever I say now to be a kind of duet with Aura's act of sirening. And whatever that means. And the only way I can really search for what that means is right now, right here, with whatever it is over the course of these 8 years, 7 years since we met, since we had our first conversation, that I'm putting words in your mouth here, but I've also heard you say them, that became in some level the seed of what grew into the film Preemptive Listening, that created the duet between us, who only met for the first time on Zoom 3 weeks ago, and for the first time in real life 2 days ago, and have only really heard each other speak on this level of reverberation now. And then whatever it is that draws everyone in this audience into this space right now, with all the histories clearly that we're carrying, and so on the one side, I want to reflect a little bit. Both backwards and forwards in time, as much as I can. I was really struck, I don't know who was here yesterday with Evelyn Glennie, but it was amazing. and I was really struck, there was a moment when someone asked a question about the difference between hearing a sound, listening to a sound, and the tactility of a sound. And she immediately said, well, would you like to come up? And she took it's called a waterphone? And it was this extraordinary exercise where she asked the audience to put their hand up when they stop hearing a sound, when they stop hearing the sound. And for her, the audience member, to hold it and to put her hand up when she stopped feeling the sound. And we did this exercise. And at some level, in my kind of, the reverberation of that, I kind of suddenly kind of go, wow, what happens if you apply that same thought to a political moment? What happens if you apply that same thought to a way of being? Can I still hear the moment of sirening that created the conversation? So, for those who haven't seen the film, how many people haven't seen the film? Okay, a sizable number. so, I I was an active participant in the 2011 revolution in Egypt. I come from a family of political prisoners. Both my father and grandfather were political prisoners. It's part of the circumstances of what makes me here, born in Scotland, brought up in London. But from that background, and I was in Egypt already from 2008 when the revolution kind of kicked off. And of course, it was a moment of rupture that comes from exactly that feeling of siren. One of the funny things that came from what you were speaking about, Mubarak, who of course the 2011 revolution toppled, came to power following the assassination of Sadet. And from that moment until the moment he was deposed, we lived under a legal system of the state of emergency. And it was only in toppling him, I think briefly, that we exited it into martial law. And of course, the revolutionary rupture creates a moment where a space of possibility, which is present in this room, which I see in the act of sirening, the act of listening, the aura has been gathering. The space of possibility opens. And of course it opens, and then there are all sorts of linear and non-linear things that happens. And anyway, trying to cut a long story short, it opens and then it's closed. And then this moment happens where it just opens again, which I call Muhammad Mahmoud, which I call the fork in the road, which is the moment that creates the conversation. And while that second opening came, as it was being closed, so of course it's closed with police, with assault, Muhammad Mahmoud, I don't know the number of people that died and the number of people that lost their eyes. Tahrir itself, which you could look at as a siren, and this is part of what's in the film, normally a space of rupture in which people gather. And it had very many identities over that revolutionary period, became the largest field hospital on earth. Ambulances, I don't know how many, treating the dead and taking people to hospital, and you know, huge number of people lost their eyes. And I was part of a revolutionary alternative media collective called Musarreen, and we were gathering the images and sort of uploading them and trying, you know, in our form of struggle in relationship with this, with my friend Haylem, who I might tell you about later. And there becomes this moment where it's clear where this is going. And the sound of the sirens overlapping endlessly through the night. And at 2-3 a.m. I suddenly, like, I can't, I break. And I realized that the siren is this two things. On the one side, it is the siren of emergency, and on the other side, it's like Tahrir has turned into this emergency for the world, saying, please listen, there is an opening and we're losing it. And that's what then leads to this moment that creates the conversation between me and Aura. In 2016, I come back to London from Egypt after 8 years of living there, the day after Brexit. And then Trump comes to power. And a few months later, We meet at a party, and Aura says, I have this project on sirens. And I say, I have a story on sirens. This isn't the right time to talk about it, but if you'd like, let's meet. We meet. It becomes what you hear. And its relationship with this. And I hear it. She sends it to me once she's, it's a 3-hour conversation, and it's turned then into a 9-minute at first piece. And of course, at that point, I have completely re-entered the world of this emergency. The crisis that is outside these doors, and how I have to live like we all have to live inside it. And I hear the recording just from the beginning, and I can't move. And I'm suddenly like, the energy of the act of witness suddenly opens up the world that I wish I could live inside the whole time, which is this one, and I can't. A few months later, because I'm now not living in Egypt, I'm living in a kind of exile, even though I'm born here. All my friends, most of them who've been brought up in Egypt, are themselves in a form of exile, whether they're living in the country or outside it. And when I go, one of my deepest friends, one of my deepest collaborators, one of my greatest friends, Ayelem, who, by the way, his name means world. I go to him, and he, by the way, also is the person who really kind of helped me in that deepest moment of crisis, and when the counter-revolution really came and closed the door. And this is reflecting now on what you've been saying, and it really struck me, and I don't know how it hasn't struck me throughout these 7-8 years. Is you saying one of the primary things about the siren also is it pointing to the exit route? And I take this recording to my friend, at some level my deepest witness, and he takes out his laptop and I don't know, transfer it, and he presses play and he hears the sound. If you haven't heard it, you can get a sense of it from that, because it's the energy of this person and how they hear and how they listen and how they interact, creating something that is, you know, interacting with whatever is in this room. And he immediately stops it, because it's like, I'm not listening to this on a computer. We're in 2018 at this point, September. Egypt is in a state of authoritarian freeze to the extent that say anything be heard in a way that makes clear you are subversive or you do not want this. And you might be reported on by your neighbors, you might go to prison. It's that level of authoritarian clampdown. And he wants to listen. So he now attaches it to his speakers, not the computer. He goes to his balcony, shuts the doors, shuts the windows, goes to the speakers, turns the volume up, and listens. And it's about the fork in the road, that moment that we both lived. And we listen for those 9 minutes. And that world that was opened for me is reopened, the one that is shut. And it ends, and we can't say a word for some moments. We both start crying. He takes a pen. This is a man, an artist, who really has a relationship with walls. And the most plastic relationship with walls I know. I'm someone who's like, I see a wall, like, it's a wall, like, shouldn't ruin it. And he has this, anyway, he, from that moment, he picks up the pen and he has these white walls in this context of authoritarian freeze. And he takes this black marker pen and just draws a wall, draws a door, the exit route. The sense that these walls are not walls and I cannot treat them as walls. It's both an underwhelming and overwhelming underwhelming, but it's worth sharing. And the reason I share it is because Sir Ilam, my friend, and that's why I want to think of this as that one moment. And so I'm sharing my one moment, my duet, because this is the vibration that for me comes from this conversation back into this room. My friend Ilam made one visit while I knew him. I knew him for 10 years to London. And we came to the Tate. And we saw the Namjoon Paik exhibition, which had a profound influence on him. He died last year. He was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and within a year passed, died. But that time and that relationship with that exhibition opened up a whole relationship with living that is present for me here and comes some way through the recording. And hence, I'm sharing it. This is the DVD extra. But that's the. I don't know if I do that. Will I still be able to go through? That's him and the drawing on the wall. No, I won't do it. I have to do it like this. And I. And that was actually straight after listening to the recording, I believe. He then. Because it lived with him for a long time and became his WhatsApp avatar. And then it just sat there for a long time, no one knowing what it was, and it being a wall, he decided to take some drawing pins and kind of created what was this, in a sense, that manifest, that relationship with Muhammad Mahmoud, that moment. And it's that, I don't know, I'm just sharing these images as a reflection of walls. This is the wall. He had another identity called the Balcony Man. And he would film in this space. There was the balcony. This is the relationship with the walls, the relationship with the mirrors, the you. And so, yeah, on account of that exhibition, in his kind of last year, it's that relation of witness, the attempt to see, it's a thing about 9/11. COVID, obviously. And this piece that he, in relation to the wall and that door, he kind of, it's a video piece where he kind of, and I think he ended up calling it In the Dead End, We're Alive. And here he tells that story of what happened from, as his kind of reverberation. That was when we should have kept pushing. That's where we, my friends and I, should have died. Instead, 7 years later, we cried and cried and cried for being still alive. And I think that was a photo actually I took that same day as I left from sharing the recording with him. So I am. I am grateful. And I am grateful. And I am grateful. I don't know what this space, this siren we exist in is. But I know at some level it's where I most belong. And I simply want it to expand. Thank you.